Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it. We must show them love. We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love. Revival love. Supernatural love. Jesus is love.
Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name is Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program. I have with me a very good friend and prophetess to the body of Christ, Stacy Campbell. And Stacy, it's awesome to have you with us today. And the subject that we're going to be covering is something that's quite heavy on my heart, actually, and I think it's a necessary word for the body in this hour. And it's about leadership and the responsibility of leaders to lead well. You know, I was a little while ago, I was traveling over to Israel, and there was conflict in the Middle East, and I was praying for the leaders of the various nations, realizing that a lot of innocent people were being hurt because of leadership decisions. And it was a sobering thought, especially when you think about the body of Christ and its influence in the world and how leaders influence the body that influence nations. And so we have a very strong mandate to live uprightly before the Lord. So today, Stacy, we're going to be discussing this whole subject about leadership and our responsibility to lead well in the Lord, but also to pray for leaders because it's absolutely important that we do that in this hour and uphold them.
Yeah, I'm really glad to be doing this program with you because, as you know, one of the things I've always said about you are one of the most righteous people I've ever met, and I feel like it's really appropriate that you're bringing this program forth because you've always longed to uphold the standard of leaders. And you know, when the Bible tells us in the New Testament to pray for kings and all those in authority, it's a very serious responsibility for the body because the leaders incur a stricter judgment. Leaders set standards. Leaders, and if leaders, you know, pave the way. And if a leader falls, so many people are hurt. And a leader decides poorly, I mean, thousands of people can be hurt in nations. We see this all the time.
Exactly. And you know what? We all lead something.
Yeah.
Everyone leads something, whether it's in our home, with our families and that. And I was thinking even like the responsibility of parents, for example, husbands and wives, to love one another and to lead well in the home. Because a lot of times when there's conflict in marriage and trouble there, the parents who are to lead the home with their pain and with their mistakes, the children get hurt. So it's always the children get hurt through leaders' decisions. And we all lead something. So it's not about condemnation. It's not about critical judgment or anything like that, but it's about a calling to alignment. And you and I have been praying a lot and talking a lot and preaching a lot, actually prophetically, regarding a coming move of the Spirit that is going from a season of wine into a season of fire. And so there's a different wineskin that's needed. It's the same God, the same good God that initiated the season of wine and the outpouring of his blessing, his laughter, his joy, his love, his grace and abundance, who is going to also initiate a move of fire that is going to have different effect. And there'll be the fear of the Lord in that. And so we have to get ready for that, and especially judgment begins first in the household of faith and especially with leaders.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. So, you know, judge ourselves so that we be not judged. And it's a very, like I feel even doing this program, I'm, you know, introspective. I'm bringing myself before the Lord, my household before the Lord. And I feel a very heavy weight in this season that we really need to, it's not about anybody else. It's not about the pointing of the finger. It's not about looking anywhere else, but, you know, inside, okay, God, search me, know me, see if there be a wicked way. Amen. It's about me before God, my household before God, and bringing our ministries before the Lord.
Amen. And that's what David, King David, yeah. prayed that prayer. And he was a good king, you mm-hmm. know. When he had his eyes on the Lord, he was leading the nation in righteousness. And even mm-hmm. when he did blow it, he went through the proper process and made yeah. things right with God and did it right. Stacy, I want to talk for a little while about Eli and his sons, yeah. because the scripture has been really heavy on my heart recently. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12 to 17, and also in verses 22 to 25, yeah. it describes Eli, you know, as a leader, as a priest who had sons that he did not steward well. So, you know, we see that his sons were, it actually says in verse 12 that the sons of Eli were worthless men. Mm-hmm. And they did not know the Lord and the custom of the priests with the mm-hmm. people. So they were violating the sacrifices and things like mm-hmm. that. But in verse 22, it says, "Now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And he said to them, 'Why do you do such things, the evil things that I hear from all these people? No, my sons, for the report is not good, which I hear the Lord's people circulating. If one man sins against another, God will mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for the Lord desired to put them to death.'" Mm-hmm. Now, the same God of love that we know is a God of justice. Mm-hmm. And with that kind of behavior, it was actually in the heart of God to desire to put them to death because of their mm-hmm. behavior. Mm-hmm. And yet it seems to me, Stacy, that in the hour that we are living in, that there seems to be kind of a sloppiness. You know, a lot of times, you know, leaders of even churches or ministries or nations will know that there's corruption in their midst mm-hmm. and they might say, you know, that's a bad thing to do, but don't properly bring mm-hmm. things back into alignment. And I mm-hmm. think God is bringing a prophetic warning for that whole mm-hmm. issue in this hour. What are your thoughts on that?
I feel very, very sober, you know, just thinking of this. Because there's a kind of an understanding in North American churches that, you know, God's grace will just cover everything, and that it really doesn't matter how we live. Almost, you know, we shouldn't do it. It's not very good. And we want to see people restored, which is great to see them restored. But sometimes we just, instead of seeing them restored to the biblical standard, there's just this allowance that they carry on in everything that they're doing, and we just kind of wink at it. We just kind of, well, you know, we don't actually call them back to what the New Testament says.
Exactly.
You know, this is not just an Old Testament paradigm, what we're reading here about Eli. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said that he was going to deliver people over to death.
Yes.
Why? So that their spirit would be saved. And so Old and New Testaments and the apostolic authority of the New Testament church delivered people to death so that their spirit would be saved. Because eternity is so right. much longer, and God's goodness longs for everybody to be with him where he is. But he will not tolerate a mixed message, mixture. You know.
And Ananias and Sapphira is a good example in the New Testament. I mean, right in the book of Acts, mm-hmm. where the grace of God was being poured out in abundance, yeah. yet God was making
a plumb line
for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, with Eli not taking on his leadership responsibilities and roles in the way that he should. And from what I can see, he was not engaging in the same conduct that his sons were engaging in. So it looks like he was fairly upright himself, mm-hmm. but it was so severe. The consequence was so severe that, number one, they lost the battle to the Philistines, yeah. which there was casualties of that war. Mm-hmm. A lot of innocent people died in that battle who were probably upright people, but because mm-hmm. the leader was corrupt, mm-hmm. the people suffered. Mm-hmm. And secondly, which I think is the worst of all, is the ark was taken. The yeah. presence of God in Israel was lost. And when we apply that to today, can we afford, number one, through sloppy leadership, whether it's in the body of Christ or if it's in government leadership, mm-hmm. can we afford to allow those kind of consequences. Number one, casualties mm-hmm. with innocent people. And I mean, when you look at this on a national level, mm-hmm. I mean, there's some severe stuff that can happen, like Third World War, for example,
yeah, exactly.
You know, just because of wrong decisions made on leaders' mm-hmm. behalf. But also, what if the body loses the presence of God in this hour? What if the Lord withdraws his presence? Mm-hmm. Oh my mm-hmm. gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the most severe judgment that any of us can have. I mean, that is what hell itself, all eternity is all about, the absence, complete absence of the presence of God. And when God withdraws his presence, the light goes out of our eyes, as it were. The light goes out of the eyes of a nation, the heart of a nation, the soul of a nation, because we've lost all moral compass at
yeah.
that point. We've lost the things that bring life, the things that bring blessing and bounty and goodness. Mm. It's all found in God himself. And when that is withdrawn,
yeah.
then we're just left with ourselves.
We so need to pray. And Stacy, also in Ezekiel 8, we see in Ezekiel 8, God actually took Ezekiel to show him yeah. abominations that were going on mm-hmm. that were not known to visible eyes.
Yeah.
But he took him inside of a vision, showed him what was going on with the elders of Israel. And he said, there's even worse things than this going on. Now, I feel prophetically that more exposure is coming, and it breaks my heart because, you know, it brings shame on the body, on the name of the Lord and everything when leaders are not conducting mm-hmm. themselves right, and especially when it becomes, you know, big over media and that. But I feel like that's coming. Mm-hmm. But then in chapter 9 of Ezekiel, it talks about how God sent the angel forth to put a mark on all those who were groaning mm-hmm. for the goodness of Lord, the Lord, and for righteousness, but all the others were annihilated.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like there's going to be a separation come.
There's a profound point that you've made in the Ezekiel passage as well as the Samuel passage, is that God saw it all when nobody else saw it. What other people couldn't see, God was seeing everything that was going on in secret. And the deception that occurred with the men and the women that were doing the evil in the secret place. It says, but they would not listen to the voice of their father, for the Lord desired to put them to death. When the Lord actually gets so offended and so hurt by the sins of his leaders, one of the most severe judgments he can give is to let it go on. Why? Because then they're actually just
yeah.
accumulating
yes,
judgment on themselves.
Yeah.
But the deception that occurs is, well, God didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. You know, I'm still doing it.
So I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. You know, if he wanted to do something, he would do it. But he did it, nothing happens. And so this whole idea of Ezekiel is that God actually does completely see, and he's going to expose it. It will
Amen.
One day be exposed. It cannot be not exposed because God does see it.
Amen. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back, Stacy, because we have a lot more to cover.
Purchase the third edition of Decree and see your life transformed by the spoken word of God. Receive his promises today. Call 866-980-5464 or visit xpministries.com to order now.
You know, it's shocking, actually, when you read the book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter,
mm-hmm.
knowing that Peter knew the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the mercy mm-hmm. of Jesus, probably more than any of the other disciples outside of Paul. And yet his teaching is very strong, and he actually prophesies in 2 Peter chapter 2. And he said in 2 Peter 2, 1 to 3, for example, he prophesied that heretical, sensual, and greedy leaders will arise and cause many to follow after their sensuality.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's very, very, very important, because Jesus, this is a systemic throughout the New Testament. It's Peter, it's Jude, it's the words of Jesus. You can't find almost a book in the New Testament where it doesn't talk about character, where it doesn't talk about fruit. And it's so important. And Peter, he says you can't follow sensuality, you can't be greedy, the love of money can't be in you as a leader in the body of Christ. These are plumb lines that were so systemic in the early church that even in the Shepherd of Hermes, 80, 95 to 100, they are talking the main way you tell a false prophet from a true prophet wasn't because of the content of their prophecies primarily. It was because of the character in their life. It was such a plumb line in the early church. And we have to get back to that plumb line, the biblical plumb
line. And I believe that's what God is doing in this hour too. In 2 Peter 2, 4 to 10, Peter said that God will rescue the righteous from temptation, but will punish the wicked. So we get to choose, like, okay, are we going to choose righteousness or wickedness? Because there's a consequence for both.
But isn't that hopeful? Like, God, if you don't want to sin, God will rescue
exactly.
you. All it takes is like your heart's desire. If you say, God, you know, I'm tempted, because we're all tempted.
Right.
But help me, then God will rescue. What a promise. He'll rescue you from it.
Recently, it's been my passion to have this fire of God just burn up everything that can be burned up. And it's so wonderful that when you have that hunger and you bring it before the Lord, He actually responds with so much grace and shows you things so tenderly, things that you can align and bring back to Him, and things that you didn't even realize were maybe even offensive to Him. But he just so gently shows you when you're hungry for walking with Him in that way. And what about 2 Peter 2:18 to 21, where He says, corrupt leaders will entice with arrogant words of vanity and sensuality while promising freedom.
What happens to that type of leader that actually promotes sensuality and brings in corruption as a leaven into the body of Christ? I mean, you read after that, the verses, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment. So we just can't have both. We either take the fullness of the holy commandment and we submit ourselves to it, and we call on the grace of God that gives us everything we need for life and for godliness, and we adhere to the standard. And if we stumble, we confess our sins. He's faithful immediately, and we keep moving on towards righteousness. Or if we just say, well, I'm going to camp here in sensuality, I'm going to camp here in greed, I'm going to just like mix this in. I mean, it says it would be better that we never knew the way of righteousness, because our latter end will be worse. It's serious.
It is a serious and very sobering hour, I believe, and yet it's going to be a glorious hour, because we're going to see the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings, and it's going to be amazing. But I do want to give a warning to those of you that are viewing, that if a leader tells you to go in a way that is contrary to what the Word says, do not listen. Go the way of the Word of God, what God says. It's like Ahab. He was one of the most wicked kings in the Old Testament, because he went contrary to the Word of God. But because he started worshiping, you know, the false deities of, well, sexual deities, actually, he started worshiping them. Then he got married to Jezebel. And the whole nation went astray because they listened to the king, except for those that did not bow their knee to Baal. And there was over 7,000 that didn't, including Elijah.
Right. But it also says that Jezebel, like, our gift can be submitted to a Jezebel spirit. And it said Jezebel actually had all the other Israelite prophets under her control. And the New Testament, you know, substantiates that. Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do many miracles? It's not about the gift without the character. They're never meant to be separate.
No, they need
they're
to be
one
both.
Holistic, integrated part, where if we move in the gifts and the anointing of God, then the character of God also comes through our life. It's a continuum. It's a whole. It's not, well, we can do all these gifts, but we don't have to walk in the character.
And Jesus gave very clear warning in the Gospels. He said, in the last days, that there would be corruption, that people's hearts would grow cold, that they would love unrighteousness. Paul wrote those things to Timothy as well. He said, the last days are going to be corrupt days. People are going to be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. So we need to be aware of this, not to be afraid or not to be heavy, but to choose in our heart the way that we want to go, which is in the goodness of God, and as leaders, that we would lead well so that people can be blessed.
Yeah, and you know, the kindness of God. leads us to repentance, the goodness. Mm-hmm. Do you know how kind it is to be led away from sin? How good it is to be led away from sin? All sin hurts. All sin destroys something inside of us, first immorally, but then it will break down relationships, it will break down integrity, it just breaks down the nation. And kindness leads us always away from sin, because sin, the wages of all mm-hmm. sin is death. It will ultimately destroy.
It will.
And so to kind of think kindness is like God lets me do whatever I want, that's not kind.
That's
at
not
all.
Kind. That's you know, Ezekiel, or Elijah rather, was a prophet who confronted Ahab, and Ahab called him the troubler of Israel. And then John the Baptist, he confronted Herod, and he had his head chopped off. Jeremiah, Isaiah, others, you know, they were confronting mm-hmm. issues of darkness, and yet it seems like the flesh resists the righteous mm-hmm. call. But there will be those who will say, no, I want to do what is right. I mm-hmm. will be like Elijah. Mm-hmm. I will be like John the Baptist. I will be like Jesus mm-hmm. who lived uprightly in every way. Mm-hmm. So,
and I just want to say that it's possible. It's possible. Like, you know, I one time heard a comment by a next generation person that says, you know, basically it's unrealistic to expect that people can't have premarital sex. I mean, it was unrealistic. And I said, what are we, animals? Are we dogs? We have no self-control. Is there nothing? And especially with the power of the Holy Spirit right. inside of us, it's unrealistic to expect that we'll all go away from God. I mean, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of us, for heaven's sakes.
Right.
And so I just want to say that it is possible mm-hmm. to live godly in this present
Amen.
Age. It's possible.
Totally. It's, and it's fun.
And it's fun.
It's fun living
a holy
godly.
Life
it
is
really
a happy
is.
Life.
I love it. Let's very quickly, we just have a few minutes left in the program, but let's talk about three qualities of a good leader. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's many qualities that we could touch on, but let's look mm-hmm. at these. The first one, fulfilling the greatest commandments, which are found in Matthew 22:37-40, mm-hmm. which is to love God and to love others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, loving God is always followed by obedience. John 13, John 14, John 15, you'll find these statements over and over again. If you love me, God says, keep my commandments.
Yeah.
Like, love of God is expressed in obedience. God loves it when we just long to do what he asks and do what he says. And so the first commandment works out in obedience, works out in holiness, yeah. works out in those things.
And then secondly, a good leader is a servant to the mm-hmm. Lord and to the people. It's not like a big celebrity mm-hmm. mindset or a yeah. big one who lords it over and controls others with their yeah. with their position, but they actually see themselves as a servant to see the people in their realm of influence mm-hmm. blessed and nurtured and doing well in the Lord and yeah. prospering in the Lord.
Jesus, again, is our plumb line. You know, he was, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. So you can tell leaders by how they serve. Now, leaders with leadership serve by leading. They do lead. They lead ministries. They're mm-hmm. apostolic. They, you know, they have vision. They have all those things. But their heart is to see the whole body of yeah. Christ mobilized to do good works, to love justice, to do mercy, and actually takes their leadership to lead people to do the will of God
yeah,
in their
to
generation.
To empower others. It's Absolutely. Beautiful. And then, of course, finally, and the main mm-hmm. and the plain here is godly in character mm-hmm. and in nature, above reproach. In your character, in your work, with mm-hmm. your family, in your doctrine. And 1 Timothy 1 speaks of that, and Malachi 2:5-8 mm-hmm. speaks of that. So the scripture is very clear. Now, mm-hmm. what we want to do, Stacey, is we want to release a call to action, because it's fine to talk about what a good uh-huh. leader is and that, but the scripture teaches us that we need to pray.
Right.
We need to pray for leaders. And that is found in 1 Timothy 2, mm-hmm. verses 1-4. It's very clear. Pray for kings, for those in authority, so that we can live a peaceful, quiet, and godly life.
Yeah, the great danger would be to move into judgment of leaders that are falling. Instead of judgment, the scripture is so clear that we cannot judge. But instead of judgment, the scriptures say pray, support, go behind, lift them up, cry out for on their behalf. Because if they win, you win. You know, we are the body of Christ. We need each other. And so when you're successful, I mean, as a Christian, I'm successful. When another leader flourishes, it just wins for the whole body of Christ. It's a home run. So what I can do for you, if I'm concerned, if I'm seeing things in your character, I can just hit the dirt, I can get on my knees in the secret place and I can cry out that God would reveal himself to you, that the spirit of the fear of the Lord would come to you, and I can pray for you that godly leaders would arise and that, you know, you would turn and so many people would be saved because you as Amen. A leader would just start to raise a new plumb line.
Right on. We love you and God loves you with an everlasting love, and I just want to prophesy over you right now. The spirit of blessing and righteousness and the fear of the Lord and the glory of his love to visit you and yours, that you would know the kindness of God and the goodness of God all the days of your life and in everything that you put your hand to in this next few days even. I sense shifts. I sense visitation for you. And so just enjoy it all because you belong to a God of great love. God bless you and we'll see you next time.
Purchase the third edition of Decree and see your life transformed by the spoken word of God. Receive his promises today. Call 866-980-5464 or visit xpministries.com to order now.